Welcome to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. You will be able to find more Heartland sermons at hcc.ag or Heartland Christian Center YouTube channel. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. We hope you enjoy this week's message by our lead pastor, Dr. Phil Willingham.
Joining us. We're so glad that you are here. Glad our campuses are joining us. Wanata, North Johnson, Hebron campus. Man, we are so excited. Our online family. Man, we are glad you are here. What a great weekend last weekend. It was amazing. Pastor Matthew made mention what a great team we had, volunteers. Then thank you for inviting people. You brought people with you. People showed up. We are so thankful for that. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles this morning. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be navigating. As I was praying, what do you come out of Easter? What's the message that Easter gives us besides the hope that Christ lives, and because he lives, we live also. We just celebrated Super Bowl Sunday to Christianity, that Jesus Christ come out of the grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And what do we do with that? What is the victory that Christ leads us into? What does it do? And here's what I want to challenge us over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about how do we become storm ready. I don't know about you, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist, doesn't take a great theologian to look at our culture to know that we are in some challenging times and seasons, right? Come on. I talk to people all the time. You talk to people. You got family. You got friends who will tell you that they've had storms. Some people have health storms. Some people have relational storms. Some people have financial storms. I mean, the winds is blowing in our culture today. And the question that you and I have to be sure of is, will our anchor hold? Can we stand and be firm in our faith on the foundation? So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about and navigate that for just a few. Let me give you a few facts about storm. And we're going to kind of navigate this over the next few weeks. But let me give you a few facts. The first thing about a storm is the fact that you can try to ignore storm. You can try to put your head in the sand, bury your head like an ostrich. You can say, oh, you know, I see no evil, I hear no evil, I speak. But how many understand that ignoring storms doesn't work? If you got a health storm, if you got a financial storm, ignoring it is not going to solve the problem. Secondly, we can be frightened by storms. I grew up in the South. I grew up in Alabama. We know what it was like to have to be storm ready. We went to school. We had tornado drills. Come on. We would have drills, not just fire drills. We had tornado drills. And let me tell you, storms could be very, very frightening for us. And there are people today that because of what's happening over the culture, because of what they see happening, they live in constant fear. How many knows that God did not give us a spirit of fear, right? Come on. That's not a gift I'm going to take. Come on. Well, some of you, maybe you want that. I don't want it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going to take that gift of fear. God did not give us the spirit of fear. Fear comes from the enemy. Fear drives Satan in our lives. But we can be frightened by the storm. Or thirdly, sometimes we can try to fight the storm. We can try to look at it and say, you know, I'm gonna pull myself up by my bootstrap. I'm gonna be strong. I'm gonna fight this storm. Now listen, that may work for a season, but how many's ever been in a storm, health storm, financial storm, relational, whatever? You've ever been in a storm and you found yourself out of strength. Come on. You found yourself saying, wow, this is more than me. This is more than I can handle. Man, God, I need some supernatural help. So fortunately, you and I can learn how to lean on the one that controls the storm. You and I can understand that we have somebody that can help us navigate this storm, and we can lean on him. I was reading a few weeks ago, as we was preparing for this series, about the USA Today. They came out with a list of the 5 top troubles that people have experienced in the last year. And they list them in categories. The number one pain or trouble or storm that they said a person can have is the death of a child. Now listen, we've got people right here in our church, they've had to navigate that storm of what it's like as a parent to bury a child. It's one of the most frustrating, it's one of the most difficult things that I talk to parents all the time. So, Pastor, parents are not supposed to bury their kids. Am I preaching yet? But it's a storm that people have to deal with. We've had right in our community where young families has had to say goodbye at a cemetery through the death of a child. Secondly, was the death of a spouse. Again, we've had people affected right here in this church with the loss of a loved one. I tell people all the time, marriage always ends in tears. Yeah. Marriage always ends in tears. Yeah. Now, if something happens to a marriage and it gets broke and it can't be fixed and you have to get a divorce, listen, let me tell you, divorce often brings a lot of tears in a person's life. Divorce is something that absolutely can rip apart a person's heart sometimes. And there's tears that happen with that. But let's say you can live and be married for 50, 60, 70 years. Guess what? If the Lord tarries and that spouse dies, there's a lot of tears. Amen? Now I'm trying to do the latter. I'd rather have to deal with being married 50, 60 years. We've had people right here in our church that they've had to go to the cemetery and bury a mate after spending a lifetime together. Tears is something that happens in relationship. But the death of a child, the death of a spouse, unable. Now listen, here's the third thing that got the top of storms. The third thing that our culture is dealing with is the unable to provide for their families. Now just think about that. Right along with the death of a child, the death of the spouse, we've got families in our culture today that the number one storm that they say that they're struggling with, how am I going to provide food? How am I going to provide housing? How am I going to provide the necessities? And then fourthly was the death of a parent. Many of us know what that is. And then fifthly, the number one storm is having a home destroyed by or damaged heavily by fire or a flood or some other disaster. In other words, you see, our culture is dealing with storms today. Doesn't take a rocket scientist, doesn't take USA. They went on to say the average adult, they identified 58 possible troubles. And they said the average adult has experienced at least 4 of these 58 troubles within the last year. 73% health related, 29% work related, 26% financial related, 22% house related, 22% family related, 20% marital hardship, and then 14% of the tragedy that had to deal with crime or loss in their life. Listen, what we understand and what we want to know, and we're going to navigate, life is full of storms. Come on, say that with me. Life is full of storms. I want us to understand that. Nobody is going to escape that. And what I love about Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 7, he brings us to this reality. Listen, what you and I have to do, how do we prepare prior to the arrival of a storm? We learned it in the South. How do you get storm ready? How do you make sure, regardless of what you may be facing in your life, how do you become storm ready? Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'm going to liken him to a wise man. How many wants to be wise? Come on. Yeah, I want to be wise. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone, everybody say everyone. Everyone. Now listen, he didn't say one party. He didn't say Republican, Democrat. He didn't say Methodist, Presbyterian. He didn't say Assemblies of God, okay? Understand it. He said everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, what's this? So Jesus is bringing this great Sermon on the Mountain to conclusion. He's been talking about the Beatitudes. He's been talking about the lifestyle of those followers and those believers. And he gives us the illustration of two houses. He said one house is built on a rock and the other house is built on the sand. And it teaches us exactly what that means. The storms on the house of the rock, he teaches us what it means. The storm for the house on the sand. And one of the things that we should notice in this passage here is just very quickly that they were the same for both houses. What Jesus says happened in verse 25 to the house built on the sand and the rains came and the floods came and the winds blew is the same thing that happened in verse 27 to the house that was built upon the rock. So write this down. He tells us the same trials came to both of them. Now get this. This is so, so important. Both of them had rain. Both of them had floods. Both of them had winds blowing against them. What does it mean? None of us are somehow exempt from the trials of life. It's not like for some reason you come to Christ and you say, well, you know, Pastor, I've given my life to Jesus, and oh, guess what? I'll have no more troubles. I have no more problems. Listen, most of us have figured that's not right. Come on, we've already figured it out. As a Christian, here's what I know. Even believers can get sick sometime. Even Christians can have marital problems. They can have job problems. Even Christians can have financial issues. Even Christians, listen, the same rain, the same wind, everything fell on both houses. The message is not that Christianity is somehow another, some smooth and easy way to go. Listen, that is a false gospel. Listen, what we have to understand today is that Jesus Christ is victorious. He rose. We celebrate it. But just because he lives and just because he lives in us, it doesn't mean that we're not going to face some storms or difficulties in our life. Write this down. The difference is as a Christian. Here's the difference. As a Christian, that we have a foundation that holds us up through the storms. That's the difference. The difference is that as a Christ follower, as a believer, that I've got something underneath me. I built my life. I built my house upon something that is going to be able to sustain me during the times of a storm. Now, what's this? It's beginning to dawn on me. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, okay? So what I'm about to tell you has nothing to do with some prophetic word. But listen, it's beginning to dawn on me that we in the Western culture, that we've had it so good for so long, that we may be headed in for some stormy weather. We may be headed in to some difficult times. And what we believe about God, what we believe about the Word of God, what we believe about the Spirit of God, it just may be tested in these last days. I'm always amazed and people say, well, I want to have an Acts church, Pastor. We need a book of Acts church. We need a church that's just full of the power, full of the Spirit. I mean, let's see miracles and manifestations of his glory. Listen, have you ever stopped to understand that during the first century church, what was happening during the first century church, right after the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Listen, they had four major crises that was happening, that was colliding on them all at the same time. There was four major things that the early first century church had to deal with. It's like being at a four-way stop and having a semi-truck come and hit you in all four sides, all at one time. Read the book of Acts. We love the tongues. We love the manifestation. We love to hear. It's all good. But listen, here's what was happening. They had the truck. They had the storm of traditional Judaism. They had, listen, when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he was a Jewish Messiah. Jesus never ministered to Gentiles. There was a few people along the way, the woman with her daughter that would, but most of the majority of time of Jesus spent ministering to the Jews. He was a Jewish Messiah. But what happened was, after Stephen was killed, remember in Acts chapter 1, he said, you're going to be witnesses, me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the church was staying around Jerusalem. They were just hanging out. They were enjoying being around. Jesus said, no. I've given you my Holy Spirit, what? To take my message to the entire world. Yeah. Stephen gets stoned. After Stephen gets stoned, the church begins to scatter. When the church starts scattering, guess what happens? There's a bunch of Gentiles. There's a bunch of idolater worshipers. They come to Jesus. They start having revival in cities outside of Jerusalem, over in Rome, over in Athens, over in places. And all of a sudden, the church begins to have all these foreigners brought into the kingdom. Now listen, great revival is happening. Guess what traditional Judaism did? Traditional Judaism sets up, whoa. You can't be a follower of Jesus unless you get circumcised. You can't be a follower of Jesus unless you eat kosher. Come on. Listen, that followed Apostle Paul all through his ministry. Traditional Judaism, they kept trying to add to the Christians and the Christ followers that was meeting Jesus Christ. They was getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. They kept trying to bring in traditions to kind of weigh people down. The second thing that was hitting the first century church was Roman power, dictatorship. I'm amazed right now. I know some Christians, they just flip out. They just almost have a nervous breakdown when they start thinking about a one world government. Oh, Pastor Phil, I just tell you what, we're sitting getting so close that Jesus has got to come and take us out before the one world government. Listen, can I tell you, I don't want a one world government. I don't want a dictatorship, but can I tell you, the early church, are you listening to me? The early church, right in the midst of the Roman power, the dictatorship that was happening, they were blossoming because of the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Roman church kept trying to clamp down upon them, but the church kept growing and prospering. Listen, if that storm comes to Western world before Jesus comes, is your house built on the solid foundation? If somehow or another we start finding ourselves having a dictator that tries to dictate, listen, we in the Western culture, listen, we are so spoiled. We are so spoiled. You know how valuable this gathering is right here to people in the third world country right now? You know how valuable this gathering is right now to people in China and India, in places where they're constantly being under threat of government if they find out that they're meeting together and they're worshiping the one and the true God? Come on, folks. We got to understand that, yes, we've been protected. Yes, in the West, we've lived under such a cloud of blessing of God. But I'm just saying, what if the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike? Yeah. What if somehow or another we see this happening in our culture? Can we say they had traditional Judaism? They had the one world government. They had a culture of idolatry. You understand that during their first century church, that when the gospel started spreading outside of Jerusalem, they were going and the culture was swamped with idolatry. They worshiped all kinds of gods. They had the gods of Jupiter and Saturn. They had all kinds. Paul is preaching in Acts chapter 19, and a guy gets healed with a miracle lame, and all of a sudden the people out of the city, they come out and they got their offering. They want to offer sacrifices to Apostle Paul. Paul said, wait a minute, dude. I'm a man just like you. I'm not a god. But they had the idolatry power that they were facing. We don't see idols in this culture, except we are good in America right now. Even Christian America, we're building political idols. We're building an idol out of man, of thinking somehow or another that this man is going to save me and deliver me, and this man is what's going to help my life stay easy and stay comfortable. And I submit to you, we have to be careful when we erect idols other than worshiping God. I'm preaching right now. We don't see idols on poles. I know some Christian, listen, they grab a political sign, and listen, that becomes an idol to them as much as any god in India or any other country. All I'm saying, listen, I vote. Listen, you better vote. If you don't vote in our political world, listen, don't complain about what happens in our culture if you're not voting. But I'm just simply saying, my hope is not in the politician. My hope is not in a political party. Come on. Am I preaching to anybody? North Justin, will you help me today? My hope is not built in a man. My hope is built in the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the Lion, the tribe of Judea. That's where my hope is. But listen, right in the midst of that religious and that government and that idolatrous power, the church was right. Let me tell you, there was one more truck that was hitting. It was satanic opposition of deception. The early church was thriving right in the midst of satanic opposition of deception. Remember when Paul is preaching and this lady starts following Paul? And she said, oh, this is a man of God. He brings the words of life. This is the man of God. He brings the word. And Paul looks at her and he said, listen, she was giving him free advertisement. What she was saying was true. But listen, how many understands in our culture right now, you don't need just discernment of words. You need discernment of the spirit behind the words. Paul stopped. And he cast that spirit because she had a spirit of divination. She had guys that she worked for. They would take her around the courts and she would read the palms and she would read the tea leaves and she would tell, you know, your husband's sleeping with this and your wife is this. And they were making money off of this lady. And Paul stands and he casts a spirit out of her and revival hits. And you say, yes, but not if that's how you're making the living. Hello? It was revival on one side, but it was tremendous opposition on the other. Because the Bible said there was a riot that broke out. They wanted to kill Paul and Silas. I mean, on and on again, you see what was happening. You see religious power, government power, idolatry power, satanic power. And all standing right in the middle of that was a powerful church. It's witnessing to the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying is this. What do we do? What do we do as the American Western culture church? What do we do when we start facing the storms that could be coming our way? Now, again, I'm not prophesying that it will. I'm just telling you what I'm observing from history and what we see happening around the world today. How do we stand this? What is a house that's built on the rock? Well, what does it mean to build your house on the rock? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean what some people think it means. Some people think building your house on the rock simply means that I say, Jesus is my rock. Some people think that building your house on the rock is just when you sing, Jesus is my rock. Listen, saying that Jesus is your rock is a great confession of faith. But listen, that's not what Jesus indicates that it means building your house upon the rock. He would say in Matthew 7 and 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So what Jesus is saying here, listen, just saying that Jesus is the Lord is not building your house on the rock. So what is it? Look back at verse 24. Look at this. He said, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them. Say that with me. Acts upon them. In other words, he does them. Everyone who hears these words, acts upon them, does them. He said, may be compared to the man who built his house upon the rock. Compared in words, he said, hey, this is the illustration. And he specifically tells us what he means. He said, the man who built his house on the rock is the person who hears the words of mine, and he does what? He acts on them. Yeah. So write this down. Building your house on the rock means doing what Jesus says. Building your house on the sand means not doing what Jesus says. Listen, the only difference in these two guys' houses was simply doing and not doing. That is so important for our culture today. Because we got people, some of you may be sitting right here, some of you may be watching, you may be at a campus. We got people today that they think, I built my house on the rock because I come to church every Sunday. Oh, I built my house on the rock, Pastor Phil, because I play music. I sing in the worship team. You know, I built my house on the rock because I go to a Bible study. No, Jesus said, both people in this story, they heard his words. The difference is that one man came, he listened, and he obeyed. And the other one didn't. The difference wasn't that one went to church and the other one didn't. Jesus says, they both heard my words. The difference is that one heard and did what I said. The other one heard and did not do what I said. Building our house on the rock means doing what Jesus says. So at the end of this great sermon that Jesus preached, he said, there's one thing you've got to get. He said, merely hearing what I say in my message isn't enough. It isn't about hearing. It's about doing.
Yeah. Come on.
It's about doing. It's about doing. It's about obeying. Yeah. Listen, he would say this. In Matthew 7 and 28, the people would say that when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Can't you picture that this group of people leaving the Sermon on the Mount? They're all walking back out to their camels together, to their carts, whatever. They're all walking. And they say, man, this guy, he isn't like them old born rabbis, is he? Man, this dude, he has an amazing way to give us illustration. He is an amazing, he can tell the greatest stories. And they say all of that about Jesus, thinking that somehow or another they have really responded to his message. And Jesus said, no. The person who builds his house on the rock is not the person who hears my word, is not the person who talks about my word. The person who builds his house on the rock is the person that hears and he does. You hear what he says, you do what he says. Now just stay with me. I love this church. I love what God is doing in this church. But I'm telling you, my last effort isn't just to try to grow a large church with a bunch of people sitting, hearing sermon and hearing worship song. My goal, our goal, is simply to build a church that hears the word, that listens to the word, and we obey the word. Obedience has got to be our end result. James 1 and 22 said this, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers of the word who delude themselves. A person that hears, that doesn't do, James said you're deluding yourself. What does that mean? It means you're cheating yourself. You're misleading yourself. You're fooling yourself. The person who hears my word and does them, the person who hears my word and obeys them, that's who the wise person is. The truth is, it's not enough just to hear. And I'll be honest with you. I wish it was. I wish my only goal, I wish our only goal as a church is to get people in where you can hear the word. We would buy all kinds of Facebook. We would do the Instagram. We would do whatever just to get people here. We have a culture today. We're hearing. What we're lacking is listening. What we hear and doing. That gets at the heart of it. Because we hear the sermon? No, because we do what he said. Jesus said, you have to do. So watch this. How do we build our house on the rock? I want this to be a how-to. Listen, I'm not just trying to preach at you. But I'm asking the Holy Spirit to wake some of you up. Some of you are not prepared for the storm. Your faith is so fragile. Your faith is so fragile. If you get caught in one of these enormous windstorms of cancer or health disease or your marriage or your finances, I'm so afraid your house is going to crumble. We don't want that at Heartland. I don't want you to go through a storm. And I wish I could say, oh, storms stay away from Heartland people. But listen, I don't have that power. Jesus said, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. The rain, the winds blew, the storm came on the wise and it came upon the foolish. So how do we build? When Jesus was walking the earth and teaching, building your life on a solid foundation was this simple. When Jesus said, do something, you did it. Right? Come on. You did it. When Jesus meets Matthew, he says, Matthew, I want you to leave your tax office and I want you to follow me. What Matthew had to do wasn't just listen to that and hear that. What it meant for Matthew building his life on the rock, he had to get up and leave his office and follow Jesus. He had to act upon what he heard. So write this down. Jesus' words are meant to be obeyed, not just heard. Jesus' words, listen, are meant to obey, not to just be heard. Listen, I read the Bible. I listen to God's word regularly. But listen, more importantly, is just reading listening to it on an iPod or my phone. Listen, isn't enough. I have to be willing to do what the Bible says. I have to do what he says. Obedience is simply hearing and acting upon the word of God. Obedience is me aligning my will with God's will. Obedience is me doing what God asks me to do. Yeah. Now, sadly, in America, we are not consistently reading this book. Study says that 90% of Americans have at least one Bible. How many's got at least one Bible in your house? It's not a trick question. You got at least one. How many's got more than one? I've got 20 versions on my iPhone. I probably got 20 Bibles in my office. It isn't that we don't have access to the Word of God. Listen, many of us, even though we have access to it, we don't read it. But the other statistic is that while many people read it, they read it as if checking off the list of a chore to do every day. Oh, I read the Bible this morning. They aren't reading the Bible and listening to the Bible for God to speak to them. Listen, what we have to be willing to do, listen, when we read the Word of God and listen to the Word of God, is like Samuel say, Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening. And when God speaks, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to do what he asked me to do. Obedience is a hallmark of our salvation. Now, we're saved by grace, right? Come on, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through the redemptive work of the cross, Jesus did. But listen, it's our obedience that sets us apart to be an authentic child of God. It's our obedience. It's what we do. It's how we live our life, how we respond. Jesus said this in John 14 and 23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. You see that? Anyone who loves me. He didn't say go to church. He didn't say anyone who loves me will serve. Listen, going to church serving is part of it. But anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So here's the question. Write this down. Can others around you testify that you are a Christ follower because of your actions are in line with God's word? Can people see your life and know? Not by your words. Some of us are quick to give people words, but can they see your life and can they tell you a Christian or a Christ follower simply by what you do? By your actions. See, that is a tremendous challenge in our culture today. building our life on a rock, doing what he says, listening to the Bible, reading the Bible, but building our house on the rock is simply doing what God asks us to do. Listen, I enjoy it when people come up to me after service and say, you know, Pastor Phil, that was a great message. Some of you probably not going to tell me this today, but that's okay. I'm prepared for that. I love the encouraging words people say. Hey, I mean, I really love that. I loved your passion. You know, last week, you know, when I was preaching, you know, I had several people after church say, is your heart okay? I was so afraid for you. I said, you don't know what the power of God's like, do you, sometimes, you know? But listen, I love those phrases, but you know what I always want to say? What I always want to say, because I sell it from here. Listen, hallmark of great preaching isn't what you've heard, isn't what you listen to. You go away and you say, okay, God, what do I do with that? Yeah. Am I doing what Pastor Phil says? Am I doing what Pastor Matt said? Am I doing the messages? Am I doing what I learn in my small group? Listen, I love it. We've got so many great small groups in this place. But some of you, you're just gathering and you're just going through the stuff and you're learning stuff. God said, don't just learn it. Do it. Yeah. Do what you know to do. Yeah. Here's a question. Here's a question. I think the Holy Spirit is going to ask all of us. When is the last time? When was the last time that you purposely changed something in your life? You purposely changed something in your life because of what you read, because of what you heard from a sermon or small group or a message. When was the last time you purposely changed something in your life? You know, when was the last time when somebody did something very offensive to you, they hurt you, they said something, and when was the last time, you wanted to say, I'm going to let them have it, I'm going to wreck, you messed with the wrong person right here, girl, I'm going to put you on Facebook, I'm going to sell you. When was the last time when somebody did something real bad to you, instead of you going that way, you said, oh, wait a minute, God, you said in your word that a soft answer turns away wrath. When was the last time you wanted to do something evil and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reminded you? The Bible says, pray for those who hurt you. Yeah. See, that's a great joke. I'm going to pay. I don't have no money. I'd pay y'all some money this morning. You're doing good. When was the last time you purposely changed? Listen, it's a great question. When's the last time you purposely changed something because of something that you read or something that you heard? When's the last time you changed something in your life? You did something differently. And listen, my challenge to you, if you have trouble coming up with the answer to that, you're a great listener. You need to get better at doing. Most of us know what to do. We just got to do what we know. Because Jesus said it's about doing what the Word says. Listening is part of it. Listen, I value you coming here. Listen, I don't take it for granted. We try to make sure that we give you messages that's going to help you. But listen, I'm telling you, just hearing the Word isn't enough. Just nodding your head and saying, yeah, you know, that's a great thought, Pastor Phil. When we go out in this real world, how are we going to let that change our life? Because I want your house to be built upon the rock. I want you to be able to withstand. If we have perilous times, if something crazy happens in this world and we start seeing a world government dictatorship that comes down, I don't want to be, you know what the early church would do? The more persecution broke out on them, they didn't whine, they didn't get upset, they didn't pull off in their little shelters and say, oh, poor. You know what Paul and Silas, they would pray, Peter, Lord, give us more boldness. Yeah. Give us boldness to preach and teach. Yeah. Paul and Silas get stowed in a jail cell in Acts chapter 16 because of what they've been doing and teaching, and revival was breaking out, but yet persecution was breaking out. Paul and Silas sits in jail, and at midnight, they pray and they sing praises to God. And God sends an earthquake. and the church triumphs. But right in the midst of this great victorious revival meeting happening, the devil gets ticked. Hello? The Bible said they brought their books and all their arts, their wicked stuff, their material. They bring it up. They have this huge bonfire. They burn up all that false stuff. Revival, yes, except if you own a bookstore and that's how you're making a living. Hello? Don't think that Satan just stepped back and said, oh, man, that's the church. We better leave them alone. No, Satan upped his ante. With the person, the church just got bolder and bolder. Again, there's a personal testing of storms that we may face. Jesus said the rain is about to fall, the floods is about to come. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. Our question is, are we going to stand? Are we going to fall when these things come? So what's our action points? Come on, Pastor Lynn. I want to give you these takeaways and then I'm done. First action point is just very simple this. How you and I see the storm will determine your success. How we see the storm is going to determine your success, or I say, your defeat. If you see it like, oh, well, God has left me, God's abandoned me, where are you, God? And that's your mindset, let me tell you, that's going to take you right to defeat. If you look at a storm and you understand, Lord, this is just part of this world. We live in this broken world. We live in a culture where crazy things happen, bad things happen to good people all the time. And how you see that storm is going to determine your success. You cannot buy the philosophy that Satan says, if God really loved you, that wouldn't be happening. You better look at that devil and say, devil, you are a liar. Get behind me, Satan. Yeah. Amen? Amen? How you see it. Secondly, how you maneuver through the storm reveals your weakness or your strength. Listen, if an economic crisis comes, and we've seen it happen when COVID hit. There were churches that absolutely moved right into fear. They were frightened by that storm. They withdrew. They shut down mission support. They quit doing anything, thinking that somehow or another, that's how we're going to survive. Guess what? Many of them did. They didn't survive. How we maneuver through a storm reveals, are we going to be weak or are we going to be strong? This church said, guess what? We're going to navigate. We'll do what the government says we have to do. We put up the screen. I've been having the last few weeks or so with Facebook, and I've had people shoot me, hey, Pastor, remember when you did this, when the you know, how the anniversary stuff comes up? This church said, we're not quitting. We're not stopping. We're not going to quit mission support. We picked up some missionaries during that time. We kept vision. We bought a church. We planted a church during that time. We started having a vision for the Sunshine Center. Why? Because we understand, listen, storms are going to come, but we serve a mighty God. God is bigger than that. And if you get in an economic storm, a financial storm, and you try to squeeze, listen, I'm telling you, this may be prophetic for some of you. If you try to squeeze and you try to hold on to what your money and say, this is my money, I'm going to stop giving to God. I ain't going to give like I promised I would or said I would. Listen, you better watch out because you'll lose everything. You'll lose it all. How you maneuver that storm. Listen, when things get tight, you live with loose hands. Oh, well, when craziness happens and people are weird and wild and ugly and mean, guess what happened? You open up and you're more loving and you're more kind than anybody. You follow me? That's how you maneuver. That's how you get through this. So thirdly, storms expose errors in your plan that may lead to catastrophe. Storms expose errors. Listen, if you've made your own plan, I got one plan. It's God's plan. I got one foundation that I'm trying to build on. It's God's foundation. I'm not trying to say, well, you know, I'm going to put this other little foundation in over here just in case. No, I've got one foundation. It's God's foundation. And storms will expose errors in our plans. Listen, I love the fact that this church has got so many young people and young families. That we are so, but you understand, we've got a baby being born every month of the year except December. 11 babies this year. 11. I tell them, I said, save December for Jesus. Come on. But if somebody wants to step up, do a December baby, go ahead. But listen, I love it, the fact that we got so many young people in this church. I love the fact that we've got so many young families that you're in small groups, and we've got young families that's teaching and leading small. I love that. Listen, but listen, I'm going to tell you, a storm is going to expose any error in your plan. Please hear this, pastor, this morning. Don't think just coming to church or coming to a small group or singing on the worship team or playing music, don't think that's what it means, building your house on the rock. The only thing building your house on the solid foundation is doing what you know to do. You have to do the work. And when God speaks to you and you say, Pastor, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to, God will give you the power to do that. And one more, storms are wake-up calls to let you know if you're growing spiritually or not. I believe that. I believe storms reveal. Where's my growth cycle? Is it expanding? Is it increasing? Am I spiritually growing, or am I wilting away? Am I going in the opposite? Storms are just wake-up calls to say, God, how would I handle? I don't play a lot of what-if games, and I think what-if games can get you in trouble. But listen, some of us need to sit down and say, God, what if I lost everything? Would I still be okay? What if, God, if I could not walk, would I still praise you? Some of you, many of you don't know Ernie Bricks is sitting over here today. I love his hat. I love the fact, Ernie, I love it, buddy. Ernie served on our board for years. Ernie was here during a lot of our early growth when we was standing by faith and reaching by faith. Ernie has always been a pastor's encourager. He's always said, Pastor, I don't know how that can be done. And look, because he's an engineer. He's a smart guy. He's a business guy. But he said, let me tell you what I do know. I do know we serve a big God. And when Ernie started having some sickness, we buried his beautiful wife several years ago. He had some sickness. Now he's in a wheelchair. He doesn't. But listen, every Sunday that he gets to come here, he'll tell you. And listen, when you look it on his face, you see he's just as strong in his faith and in his trust and favor with God today as he ever has been. And that's what it means to grow spiritually. Well, I just thought if I have faith, this wouldn't happen. I just thought if I was a woman of faith, a man of faith, man, I'd do this. No, listen, great. Have all the faith. Speak all the words. I'm in for every bit of that. I have professions and confessions I make every day. But I'm just saying, what if the storms come? Where's your foundation? I told the early church this morning, listen, every time we come out of a storm victorious, I believe God gets glorified, others around us get electrified, and we get qualified. Every time. Every time you fight through a storm, and some of you have been fighting through something. Listen, believe me, some of you here this morning, I know you're sitting on your hands right now. You're not that vocal, but listen, I know some of you have went through some tremendous storms. But listen, you've been standing strong. You've been keeping your hope and your faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, God's getting glorified right now. People around you are seeing it. They're being electrified. And ultimately, you are being qualified to say, that's a woman of faith. That's a man of faith right there. God, help us to build our life on a solid foundation. Wisdom is grounded in obedience. Jesus said, I may like you to a wise man. A wise man built his house on a rock. Wisdom is grounded. Everyone who hears my word and does my word is like a wise man. I want to be wise, don't you? Come on, I want you to stand with me if you would. Holy Spirit, thank you today. My challenge to you this morning is don't ignore the storm. Don't be frightened by it. I know some people are saying this November is going to be the most important election there is. I submit to you, they're all important. Okay, they're all important. But God is in control. I don't care what happens in November. God is in control. We can't be frightened by the storms. We can't try to fight our way through the storms. Our ultimate goal is, how do we lean on the one? How do we come to the one that, and we lean on the one that controls the storm? And so our foundation can stand strong and we keep standing. And I'm praying for that for some of you. Some of you, listen, again this morning, we've got people, man, the last 2 years, you've been in a storm. You fought. You stood. You've wept. You've cried. You've called out. You've wondered where God was. And God says, I'm right where I've always been. I haven't left you. I want you to hear that. I haven't left you. Some of you here this morning, you're headed into a storm. 2024 is a year of change. It's a year of transformation. But for some of us, that means that we gotta face some storms this year. We've gotta decide and determine, am I gonna be just a hearer of the word? Am I gonna be a doer of the word? For some of you this year, it simply means you stop playing church. You get serious about God. And you listen to what he says and you do what he says. And you start in the simplicity of things. Just being, say, God, here I am. What's your will for me? What do you want me to do in this situation? How do I need to respond as a mom or dad or a student? God, speak to me. And I submit to you, he will speak to you. He'll speak to you right here, this book. Every day you read this book, this is his words to you. Conversations you have with other faithful people. Young people that's in here, young families, get around some strong faith. Feel people in your life. Don't just try to hang out with the same age group all the time. That's great. I understand there's some light, but get around some strong people of faith. Let them encourage you. Get around strong marriages and say, hey, give me some secrets. How do we navigate this? Well, my marriage can stay strong. I mean, you got things fighting your marriages today that my culture didn't know nothing about. I mean, we've got all kind of things that just is available at one swipe that could take your heart, take your eyes away in another direction. Put people around you. Come on, am I giving, this is good teaching. Put people around you. Say, come on, help me. God, I want to lean on you. I want them to sing the verse of this song here. Because listen, when we sing these courses, many of these are things God is speaking to us. I was asking the Lord this morning as we were singing this. I said, God, am I doing this? Am I doing what this word says? Sing this right here, Pastor Lindsay.
Got joy in chaos.
Come on. Am I doing that? Do I have joy?
I got peace that makes no sense.
Yeah.
I won't be going
under. God, that's my faith. That's my profession.
I'm not.
By my strength.
Come on.
Come on. I build my life on you. Century church had all of those trucks hitting them. Bam, bam, bam. But Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail. And the church survived. It has blossomed. It has grown throughout the world. Christianity has went far beyond any imagination that the first century Christians ever thought it could be. All because men and women built their lives on a solid foundation. You understand that? And we're part of that. And if the Lord tarries, we got to keep building. So when the storms come, our generations after us, our families, our kids, listen, they can stand on our shoulders knowing, hey, we're standing on a solid foundation. Man, we're not going to waver. Come on, sing it again right here. Come on, sing this again. Come on, listen to what it says. Come on.
I still got joy.
Come on. I got joy. Make that your profession.
Yeah,
Jesus. I'm not going under.
Thank you for listening to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. If you would like to partner with us and give, please go to hcc.ag and click to give tab. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. Also, if you have a prayer request or want to contact Heartland, please email us at pastorphil@hcc3d.com. Have a blessed week.